Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
Our special guest today is Linda Travers, the Environmental Protection Agency's Deputy Chief Information Officer. Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
Jason, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity, and I think it's a very exciting time for Chief Information Officers in the government, so I look forward to this conversation.
Well, EPA is doing some really tremendous work. I've seen the amount of press releases, if you will, if I could judge it from that coming out over the last year or so. So I know there's a lot of fun things going on. But I want to start with a basic question. You were acting CIO for almost a year. You've recently moved back to being the deputy CIO. Talk a little bit about why you moved back. I think there's some legislation in there that you mentioned previously. And what's the difference between being acting CIO and deputy CIO?
There's legislation that allows a non-political to be acting in a political position up to a little less than a year. And so that time has expired, so I'm back in the official position, which is the deputy CIO. Administrator Jackson is actively searching for the right person to take us to the next level. And I don't know if you noticed, she started Twittering under her username, Lisa P. Jackson, and she's already got 1,800 followers. So I'm looking forward to her choice for the next CIO, and we'll be there to support that person. And I'm sure that person will be as innovative as our administrator. And as soon as I hear something, Jason, I'll let you know.
So that was my next question. Of course, you're not going to tell me, you're not going to give me any kind of news for me, huh?
I don't have any news for you.
All right. Well, you know, I'm always looking. Now, going back to the deputy CIO role and going from the acting CIO role, is there a big difference? I mean, are you still kind of focusing on the same issues, or do you focus on different issues?
The way I draw a difference between the two is that the CIO, in kind of broad strokes, is more often engaged and responsible for external cross-government initiatives, and such as those that are the priorities of the CIO Council. And a deputy is more steeped in the operational aspects. And at EPA, the organization that I manage is the Office of Environmental Information. And we deliver information management and technology services to the full agency, which has a little over 17,000 people. And we have lots of partnerships with outside groups, but particularly with our states, who are co-regulators or regulate, or actually implement, they're not co-regulators, but they implement the statutes that we administer here at EPA.
Do you have a preference? Do you prefer doing the strategy versus the operational stuff, or do you like them both?
I like them both. It has been an exciting year this past year. I've been actively involved in a number of initiatives across the government, and many of the things that our organization has been working on over the past 5 years or so are things that the initiatives across the government are very well matched, and we're making lots of strides. So it's an exciting time for being in a chief information office in the federal government.
Beyond just what you're doing internally, the external stuff is very exciting too. I mean, between Web 2.0 and open government and cloud computing, which we'll probably get to all those things in a little bit. Talk a little bit about, though, the EPA support, the EPA CIO support of the agency's mission. You talked a little bit about it a little bit, saying there's 17,000 people and you work closely with the state and locals, but the CIO itself also, you know, you deal with, as you said, both external and internal customers.
The CIO's job is primarily to support the agency's ability to achieve its environmental protection and public health mission. And so my organization, in order to do that, we have to keep two things in mind. IT should either be a mission multiplier, meaning that we have enhanced our ability to achieve our mission, or an infusion of IT savings in money and time. So it is effectiveness and efficiency that are the benchmarks that I look toward and measure my organization. And let me give you an example. Right now, we're working to support the president's executive order to save the Chesapeake Bay. And for effectiveness, we're working with a wide group of partners in the Bay to provide a transparent, accountable website, and it's known as Chesapeake Stat. And it will allow the public to work along with us to examine what policies are being put in place to begin to restore the bay, and what actions are being taken either by the federal, state, local level, or what citizens can do to help save the Bay. And it's in the concept of sharing our goals together, and to me that's effective. For efficiency, we're designing again with partners an information broker data engine to share the data more quickly in a streamlined manner, and we're building on what we've been doing in exchange standards. There's lots of Bay information. Many people are collecting it. How can we better share it? How can we better use it together to save the Bay? So my job, I see, is the strategic direction of EPA's leadership in achieving its mission, and how can I bring IT technology and management to enable that?
Those two examples, I think, are great because I think they really give the listener and give me a great understanding of how you guys are relying on technology to meet your mission, which is what you hear a lot about, and a lot of agencies attempt to do it, and some are more successful than others. And when you brought up the data engine, is this related to the CDX, which is the Central Data Exchange?
Right. It's using the same standard. What we have is a network across our state partners, and in this particular case, we have a Chesapeake Bay office actually in Annapolis, Maryland, which is part of EPA, and we actually have an exchange network node at the Bay office, and that allows us to reuse the technology we've built to allow us to partner in a broader coalition of people beyond the states to collect the Bay data to help measure the progress over time.
And as far as the other one, the Chesapeake stat, I remember seeing some information about that. That seems to be following the trend that we're seeing across government of kind of setting up those open government platforms to bring in more voices.
That's correct. And it's being set up modeling somewhat what the governor of Maryland has been doing with what he calls BayStat. And it really is a tool that begins to help people see what actions you're taking and then what is the outcome for that action.
Well, those are both fascinating. Now, you obviously, these are two of your priorities, and I want to get back to talk about some of your priorities. But first, we're going to have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Linda Travers, the Environmental Protection Agency's Deputy Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Linda Travers, the EPA Deputy CIO. Now, Linda, before break, we talked a lot about kind of how you're supporting the agency mission. You offered two great examples around Chesapeake Stat, as well as kind of a data engine to share data around the Chesapeake Bay. Let me ask you a little bit about your office. How are you guys organized? You know, are you decentralized, centralized from an infrastructure perspective? What's your budget for technology? And as far as employees versus federal employees versus contractors, how does that ratio work out?
Let me start with, as I said earlier, we have a little over 1,700 employees at the Environmental Protection Agency, and they're spread across 13 headquarters offices that are here in the metro area, and then we have 10 regional offices and then multiple labs and centers across the U.S. I lead an Office of Environmental Information, which is comprised of 475 employees, and we're here in Washington, D.C., and then I actually have a a staff in Research Triangle Park, and that's actually where my data center is located. In addition to the resources here in OEI, the 13 program offices and the regional offices that I spoke about also have information support staffs that oversee IT development and implementation in the organization. I basically have a responsibility for central policy making. I'm a convener, a facilitator, an implementer. And then I have some functions that are actually centralized. One example is security and the surveillance of security. And then in a decentralized model, there are others that help and work with us on that. And then for our annual IT budget request, it is $470 million. And then the share within my own organization is about $180 million of that $470 million. On your question about contractors, we rely on contractors to provide our bench strength in many of the technical areas, particularly as they relate to infrastructure. And as you know, it's an ever-growing area. So we will continue to make certain that we have the right type of contractors to support us. But on the federal side, our employees are very much involved in data management, data analysis, and working across the agency to provide those services to the 17,000 employees.
It's interesting because I talk to a lot of CIOs, obviously, through this show, and almost all of them have a very similar take in terms of the ratios are a bit off. Do you see your ratios in line with what you would like it to be? Do you think it's a little bit off? I mean, are you looking at any kind of equaling out in terms of number of contractors versus the number of federal employees?
I really don't know the answer to the ratio question. What I do know is that we're always working to make certain that we have the proper oversight, that we have the proper technical expertise in a particular area, be it security or if it's related to, you know, network infrastructure, that we have federal employees that have that expertise. And so, but I don't know the actual ratio.
Okay. I mean, again, some people have it in pretty good shape. Again, I was talking like Social Security Administration, their ratio is in much better shape than I've heard across many other agencies. You mentioned a couple priorities, I think, early on about the way you're making, bringing efficiency and effectiveness through IT to the mission areas. Let's talk about some of your other priorities maybe over the next 6 or 9 months or so.
One of my number one priorities, the implementation of the president's new OpenGov directive, which came out a few months ago. And as I said earlier, EPA's mission is to protect the environment and public health. And that has always meant for us as an agency to be open with our data and engage with a wide spectrum of stakeholders, first and foremost, the American public. The OpenGov directive gives us an excellent framework to accelerate that direction. And we're looking at it to both be practical as well as innovative. One of my other high priority efforts in the past months and continues to be for the coming months is data.gov, and I'm actually the co-chair of that, my co-chair is the CIO of Interior, and then Vivek Kundra, the federal CIO, is the executive sponsor. And I think the process of unlocking federal file cabinets will have a transformational effect in the government space. As we've learned with data.gov, other countries like the UK have taken this concept and are building on it, and we have reached out to state governments, local governments. They're part of the trend. Actually, on data.gov, you can reach a few of those states that have started putting their data in a transparent way for their user communities. And so it's an opportunity for all of us to work together to be innovative and build on each other's work. In my own organization, I'm very fortunate to have an excellent team of senior executives who are carrying out a number of efforts that are priorities both across the federal government and at the Environmental Protection Agency. My regulations.gov team continues to work to make it easier for Americans to engage on rulemaking. And we have moved that site more into the Web 2.0 world. We have more work to do, but it's continuing to improve constantly. And in the information access area, one thing that's exciting is that we're starting to explore mobile apps, which is I think where technology is going to take us. And interesting application that we're getting ready to make available to the public is if you think about the UV index, it's important for people to know what they might need to do depending on what their sensitivities are. And you might be able to make a determination from your cell phone if you need to put more sunscreen on. So we're excited about that. We're working on another one that will allow people to report a spill if they see something. And as many agencies, we're continuing and going to be doing a redesign of our web presence so that we can make it more intuitive and interactive. So in summary, I think my organization plays a key role in advancing the information sharing, openness, and transparency within EPA, across the government, and most importantly, the public at large. There's some priorities that I'm focusing on. There are many, many other things our organization's working on, but these are the ones that I'm spending much of my time on.
All right, well, your plate is obviously quite full. Talk a little bit about what you see as the direction of regulations.gov.
Well, if you have followed it closely, last year we actually put a kind of a new face on it, and we started a what we refer to as an exchange, which is just an opportunity for the public to identify those things that they would like to see the site be able to do. And for those that don't know what it is, maybe I should talk just a moment about what it is. It's regulations.gov. It's a one-stop public access to information, and it has the current and forthcoming regulations issued by the whole federal government. So EPA manages this as a managing partner for the federal government. And so we have actually established a new A to Z index of rules and proposed rules by topic with the idea of being able to have people be able to search easier. We have a new dashboard of regulatory documents that are housed on the site. We've done, as I said, a new, more modern look and feel on the homepage where we have rotating pages. And we've started doing instructional video clips that are highlighting certain site functions, so having real-time training on the videos. And then we're working toward, and it is it's a partnership across the federal government of improving the site's docket summaries and working on dynamic updates to the dashboard, and then improving the A to Z index of rules, and ultimately having the ability for RSS feeds by topic. So those are some of the things that are in the planning stage.
Let me just jump in. I'm excited about the RSS feeds by topic because when I go to the Federal Register every day and I'm looking at all the titles and clicking links and going through it. So that's a great, great idea to give people, because that's what people are interested in, certain topics.
Right. And then we want to do the final thing that we're exploring is a public user profile, so you can customize your view, so you could have Jason's My Regulations concept. And then additionally, we are going to relaunch what we had called regulations.gov exchange, which is this online forum, and it allows the public to explore other proposed new design and features. So it's a continuous improvement in listening to the user base and making changes as we set priorities and as resources allow us to do.
All right, well, there's a couple more things I want to touch upon, but we're going to have to take another break. You're listening to Ask the CIO at Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Linda Travers, the Environmental Protection Agency's Deputy Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Linda Travers, the Environmental Protection Agency's Deputy CIO. Now, Linda, before break, we're talking a lot about your priorities. We got into the regulations.gov and the changes that are coming there. One of the other things you brought up was some of the mobile apps that EPA is developing. I'm interested to learn more about it. That seems to be, again, another trend going through government with, like, for instance, apps for the Army. That's a contest. You guys obviously aren't doing a contest, but you're developing some apps. Are we talking about for the iPhone, for the Google Droid, for what kind of platforms?
We are focusing on a variety of platforms. Some are easier than others. The first to come out, I believe, will be the UV Index, and I know that it will work on iPhone, and they're exploring other platforms. We have the one that's related to spills. It's in the early design stage. And then I have another one that is a little bit further ahead of design, and this is an emissions inventory. You can understand what's in your community. That one will be iPhone, and then again, exploring how we can use it for other platforms as well.
So I got to ask about the UV one, because summer feels like it's right around the corner. When will that be ready?
I actually don't know the date, but it will be sometime soon.
Okay. Well, we'll look out for it, because I think that's very exciting what's going on there. The other thing that's happening across your agency that you actually didn't bring up in lots of detail, but the Web 2.0, social media is a big use. You mentioned Administrator Jackson is now on Twitter. You guys recently put out a new Web 2.0 social media policy. Discuss that, you know, what that covers, and how does it compare to some other agencies' policies that we've seen recently?
I think what's important is with our policy, we're encouraging employees to take full advantage of all the opportunities of social media. But we also want to give them clear guidance, especially on how they represent the EPA online in their official capacity. So we have put out guidance, which is how I respond online on EPA's behalf. And what's key here is that when employees participate on EPA's behalf in social media as part of their official duties, they're representing the agency. So they are expected to exercise the same professionalism that they would if they were speaking on EPA's behalf at a conference or in a public meeting. And we are basically saying even online, you're functioning in an official capacity, and therefore you're representing the agency, and you need to have the same managerial considerations and ethic principles that you would anywhere else. And so that's the essence of the policy. On your question about others in the CIO community, I actually believe many of them are writing such policies similar to ours, and we have had some conversations, staff has had conversations with Department of Defense, GSA, and State Department. And so we're all learning as we continue to experiment with the Web 2.0 tools. And we've learned a lot, myself and our staff, here looking at and attending the workshops that are hosted by the National Academy of Public Administration Collaboration Project, which EPA is a member of, and I think there will be more learning through that process. And I think the other thing that is part of social media and learning is the way that GSA and OIRA has helped us, OIRA at OMB has helped us roll out a collaboration workspace using IdeaScale for the OpenGov directive, which is another strong signal of, you know, how we across government can use some of these newer tools. So I think policy is a first step, and the whole federal government will be better understanding how to use the social media tools in their day-to-day work.
What's interesting about social media more generally is the fact that you have to, there is definitely a line that you have to keep in mind, is that when you're, if you say on, for instance, Facebook, I'm Jason Miller, I work for EPA, well, then are you representing EPA at that point, even though you may be doing just personal stuff, but because you say you're EPA, do you guys get into that kind of differences between a social life and a professional life?
Not at all. If you were Jason Miller and you say, I'm representing EPA, and this is my opinion about how EPA is regulating a particular chemical, you need to represent yourself as EPA.
But what about, like, if I just say, this is what I do for a living, I work at EPA, but I'm also a father, a brother, you know, a son, and then I talk about my politics, you know, my political issues, I like what's happening, I don't like what's happening. Do you guys have to address that as well?
I am not an ethics
that crosses that line, right?
Believe, okay. Right. I don't believe that that is the case. That's your own personal opinion. You're not representing EPA.
Okay, I see.
It all comes down to the fundamental. When you're representing EPA, you need to make certain that you're representing EPA related to your responsibilities at EPA.
Okay. Because I know there's an interesting story. I won't get into too many details, but Thad Allen, the commandant of the Coast Guard, had to differentiate his professional life from his personal life just for some of those concerns. And now, he's the commandant, so that's a little higher profile than maybe the average federal worker. But that's something that every agency is going to have to deal with. It's great that you guys have a policy out there. Others can look at it, and I'm sure they can find it on your website.
They can.
Okay. Well, we are unfortunately almost out of time. So let me, before I let you go, let me talk a little bit about your background. How long have you worked at EPA? Have you worked at other agencies? Did you work in industry? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty much a entire career at the Environmental Protection Agency, and I'm a charter member, which means that I began working at the EPA right after Earth Day in 1970. So I have a long history with the Environmental Protection Agency. During my career, I've worked in a variety of different mission-critical offices, and most recently have been in the CIO's office, which I'm very passionate about because it allows us to collect and manage information and make it public accessible to the public. I'm local from Washington, D.C., now a Maryland resident. I went to school at the University of Maryland, Go Terps, and American U. And I live out in Maryland now, and I'm very passionate about protecting the Chesapeake Bay. That is important to me, and environmental protection and public health are personally very important. So I've stayed and worked my career here, and had great rewards of many things that we've accomplished over all the years.
So a charter member of EPA, how many of them are out there left?
I'd guess between 50 and 100.
So that's fascinating. I didn't realize that there was actually a name for people who've spent, you know, who were among the first employees at EPA, you know, looking back and, you know, from 1970. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. This has been fascinating. I've learned a great deal. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Linda Travers, the Environmental Protection Agency's Deputy Chief Information Officer. Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. I look forward to talking to you again.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now. WFED.